with him over and over and over and over again.
Sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Lord, Lord,
oh, yes, Lord, amen.
The truth in your life? Do you keep falling in love with him? Don't he get sweeter every day? Don't you realize how much you need him more every day? Let's give him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Yes, Lord. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over, over and over again.
He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.
Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over,
and
over and over again. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read you a testimony tonight. It's going to be a blessing to you. I would like to thank the Lord for healing me last Wednesday night. I have had fibroid tumors for about 12 years. Last year I had an ultrasound and was told that I had a lot more of them. For the last few months they have been growing. I felt a lot of pressure and heaviness and had an area where I could feel a large mass when I pressed on my right side. Last Wednesday night, when Sister Deanna Glenn went up to for Brother Jerry's daughter's kidney stone, I heard Brother Donnie say, we believe, Lord, that you can break that stone up. I said, Lord, I believe you can break these fibroid tumors up. I just believed. I felt something come inside of me and start moving. It was unlike anything that I've ever felt before. I don't even know how to explain it. Brother Donnie said, I just felt the healer come by, and all of a sudden I felt totally engulfed in his presence. I felt like I was having a pain-free surgery. Saturday morning, while lying in bed, I began to press where I had been able to feel the large mass, and it was totally gone. Thank you, Jesus, Sister Martha Sacker. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.
Somebody give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. Oh, isn't God good, church?
Amen. We have seen him do so many things. How could we ever doubt the power of our Lord? Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Bert, Sister Barbara Gravely, weak in body and mind, need lifted up. So let's pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. We'll remember Sister Linda Kennedy's family. As you know, she passed away, I believe, on Sunday. Don't have any details about the services or anything like that, but if we find out, we'll let you know, maybe this weekend, or if it's already passed, we'll let you know that too. But Brother Keith just mentioned this. As Brother Donnie on Sunday morning began to sing the little chorus, "Come Away My Love," at that precise moment, the Lord took Sister Linda. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. What an opportunity to go get to be with the Lord. So we certainly pray for the family, that God would just be mindful of them, comfort their hearts, just a precious sister in the Lord. So let's remember those folks. Brother Randy Walden says to remember Natasha Walden. She has a court date on the 20th, needs prayer. So let's remember that tonight as we pray. Sister Katie Jackson says to please pray for Savannah Jackson, homesick with a fever tonight. So let's remember that need. I want to pray for Geraldine Ash, who is Sister Linda Nunley's sister. She is on hospice care. Brother Daniel, Sister Linda, and family are traveling to Pennsylvania. Pray for a safe trip. Pray for that lady there in Pennsylvania, Geraldine Ash, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Brother Baker wants us to remember Jonathan Baker tonight in prayer, homesick, unable to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Keith Phillips says, my daughter Heather was diagnosed with lupus 2 years ago and is having a major flare-up. Please pray for her. So let's remember that need tonight. Brother Andrew Kennedy, shin splints, very painful. So he's asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Sister Jane Terrell. She's having very bad panic attacks. Also pray for Brother Gene. He needs strength from the Lord. So let's pray for the Terrells tonight, that the Lord would just do something special for them tonight as they listen to this service. Sister Patty Nunley says, we want to thank the Lord for being with Brother Clinton Gibby. The leakage in the heart valve was not as bad and as severe as they thought. He is home and he's doing better. So we praise the Lord for that tonight. I want to pray for Brother Scott Arwood, Brother Tim Arwood's father. I want to remember him in prayer tonight. He's been in the medical center since Sunday with a blood clot in each lung and one in his leg. He is in extreme pain, was due for back surgery when the blood clots developed. I also remember the boy's mother, Sister Sandy. She is worn out and is very concerned about her husband. He is in room 6417 at the medical center. So let's pray for that family tonight, that the Lord would just be with them and give them peace during this time and do something special for their father. We know he's more than able to do that. Sister Bonnie Potter says to please pray for the comfort of a family in Kentucky, friends of our son. A 16-year-old boy was killed Friday night in a car accident. I pray that God can somehow deal with my son through this tragedy. Also pray for traveling mercies as I drive up there for the funeral. So we want to pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful, give Sister Bonnie traveling mercy. I want to pray for Brother Lance Parker, homesick with a virus. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. And that's all we have as far as written prayer requests. I'm sure there's many needs in our assembly tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe God's able? You believe God's able? Do you believe God's able? Let's give him one more hand clap of praise as we stand tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother West, come tonight. Pray over these prayer requests. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother West Willis, don't we? Amen, buddy. You love me, partner. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, a long time ago when sin came into the world, Lord, and it changed everything, and all these horrible things came with it. And Lord, it's so easy to look at the heaviness of spirit that comes on us, or the sicknesses that come against us, or the loss of loved ones through this, you know, that go beyond the curtain of time, Lord, and pass on over, Lord. It's so easy for us to look at these things and to start to question and wonder why, and to just feel so so distant and so far from you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for revealing yourself to us in this last day. Lord, the way you've revealed yourself to us, not only as just our healer and our Savior and our Lord, Lord, but you've revealed yourself as our friend who never leaves us, never forsakes us. Lord, there's a lot of tough situations that have been mentioned tonight in these prayer requests. And when we're sitting there as the body and we're listening and we're taking all these things in, we look at you and we think, my goodness, you know, you took every bit of that on yourself. You took it all. You took the stripes for every bit of this sickness. You know, you felt all the pain that we felt. You've taken everything that we've ever experienced, Lord. We've never been alone. We've never been alone. You've never abandoned us. You've never forsaken us. You've never walked away from us. You've never turned away, Lord. Lord, we come to you and we repent daily. We ask you to forgive us, and you're so faithful. You're so faithful to pick us up and dust us off and to restore us back again, Lord. You're so faithful when we bring our sicknesses to you, Lord, and lay them at your feet. Lord, when it looks so dark and we think it can't get any worse, you're there to put your arms around us. At times, Lord, when it looks like nothing can help us, you reach down and heal us. You walk among us, Lord, when your word's being spoken. You heal us through prayer. You heal us and comfort us all the time, Lord. Your promises are true. We thank you so much, Lord, that you did not leave us alone, but you did come back as our comforter. You do live in us and through us, Lord. And we see it daily. We thank you for the testimonies. Lord, we know that we're going to face trials. We know that we're going to face hard times. We know that things are going to get tough, Lord God. We know that family members are going to be wayward and turn away from you. And we know that people we love are going to turn away. We see those things, Lord. But we know that we can trust you infinitely. We can trust you with everything we've got. Lord, we can take the faith that you gave us, that we didn't even have of our own, that you gave us. You even gave us that. And we can apply it, Lord, to these testimonies, to these prayer requests, to these sicknesses, to these oppressions, to these ailments, to these injuries, to these loss of life, Lord. We can apply these, Lord, and we'll receive comfort and healing and peace. Lord God, you're just so great. Lord, the devil tries to whisper in one ear, telling us that we're going through all this pain and there is no answer. But you are always with us. You never leave us. And you always tell the truth. And you are our healer. And we believe it, Lord. And we thank you so much. We dedicate this service to you. We worship you. We love you. We ask, Lord, that you speak right through our brother tonight. Lord, we don't take it for granted when we walk through those doors. We come here to worship our God. We come here to love our God. We come here to lift our God up. We come here to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. We ask you, please draw us closer tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to be a Christian tonight? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. How about you? Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. I'm looking for an announcement. Just bear with me just a second. And we'll make one announcement. And this was brought to the library's attention, so we're going to bring it to your attention tonight also. Several items are in the church fellowship hall that needs to be picked up. Please check on the counter in the kitchen, see if anything belongs to you. Now, it's mostly clutter over there. So if you've got clutter, get your clutter and take it home. I was going to say take it to your cluttered house, but I wouldn't say that for nothing. Just take it home with you. If you've got items in the fellowship hall, take them to your beautiful home. Thank you. Thank you so much. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Are you glad you love him?
Yes.
Are you glad he loves you?
Yes.
He loves you more.
Right.
He loves you more than you'll ever know. Let's sing, Never Been This Homesick Before. Is that your testimony tonight?
Yes. Well, go ahead. I thought you was going to lead it. See, I think, I'm not sure. There's a light in the window. The table's spread in splendor.
Oh, yes, there is.
someone standing by an open door. I can see a crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been Hallelujah. This homesick before.
I want you to sing with all your heart. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door.
This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance.
Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
I can see the family gathering. Sweet faces look familiar. But no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh Lord, my lonesome heart Hallelujah. Is crying.
Oh, yes.
I feel like spreading my wings for flying. 'Cause I've never been this homesick before.
Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home.
One more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord.
Glory. I can see the family gathering.
Yes, we can.
Sweet faces look familiar. Nobody's old, there's nobody feeble anymore. Oh Lord, my lonesome heart is crying. I feel like spreading my wings for flying. 'Cause I've never been this homesick
before. Sing it one more time, church.
Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can't. Praise the Lord, Brother Fred. Brother Fred, come on to the platform. Sister Sadie Roncalli got a song for us tonight. If she'll come on to the platform, sing after Brother Fred tonight. You can be seated. God bless you. I feel the presence of the Lord in the service tonight. Don't you? I believe the message is just going to be phenomenal tonight. It always is. It always is. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you tonight.
I brought this song written about almost a year ago. It's been like fire shut up in my bones, and now my bones are turned to ash. But I hope you like it. The eternal singing to the eternal. Now as I wandered through the hog pen, I was full of shame and sin. But from the deep I hear you calling, son, return from your sin. For there's bread enough at your Father's house for you to live again. So come out from the world and separate yourself from sin. I pray, open my eyes with your word, Lord. I want to see you. And open my eyes with your word, Lord. I want to know you. For the old man perished in the fire, and now I'm living so much higher since the light of your word struck your seed in me. Since the light of your word struck your seed. Now listen. Now my Father, he did see me in a far off distant land. He ran out to protect me, and now there's scars in his hands. He said, servants, bring the best robe, shoes and a ring for him. For my son was dead, but now my seed gene lives within. And I prayed, open my eyes with your rhema, Lord. I want to see you. And open my eyes with your rhema, Lord. I want to know you. For the old man perished in the fire, and now I'm living so much higher since the light of your word struck your seed in me. Since the light of your word struck your down. Oh Lord, I lay it
stand. It's time to go on into the service. Brother Donnie's going to come, bring us the word of the Lord. You're going to pray for your pastor tonight. You're going to pull on the gift of God, right? Somebody say glory. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? There'll be no sickness in that land. Be no sickness in that land. Be no sickness in that land where I'm bound. Be no sickness in that land. Be no sickness in that land. Be no sickness in that land where I'm bound. Don't you want to go? Oh, don't you want to go to that land?
Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound?
Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe we're closer than we've ever been, for sure. Amen. How many is happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Let's read together. Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Now, he didn't say anything about Jesus. So you can be custom and expert about church and not really knowing nothing about God. Wouldn't that be awful if that to be said about you? You're a custom and professional expert, and you're a professional church goer and a professional message quoter, but you ain't saved. But I know thee to be expert in customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee. I want you to listen to me now. Listen to me patiently. Verse 4, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, and all the Jews. Oh my. And we'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Let's just bow our heads together and pray over the word. Heavenly Father, we realize as our brother stood here before King Agrippa and Porcius Festus, he's fulfilling once again your promise. You will stand before kings and great men. It's amazing to us, Lord, how that each one of us have our portion of the word to fulfill. I thank you, Father, for men like Paul. The majority of Christians in Christendom would never fulfill that portion of the word. They'd never know what to say. They'd never know how to approach it. But those who are called to stand there will have the proper words when they stand. And we know that's the way you do things. For every person that's called to be a whatever they are, a farmer, factory worker, housewife, husband, whatever we're called to be, you equip us for that. Lord, we've come here tonight to be able to worship, to sing, to praise, to pray, to hear your word. Take this word, Heavenly Father, that's been read now for 2,000 years. Make it real again to us tonight. Since we believe with all of our hearts that we are the continuation of the book of Acts, may we find our place in the word. Lord Jesus, you see this prayer cloth that I have in my hand. Father, you know the request that Brother Baker submitted for it to be worn tonight and prayed over. I pray, Lord, that you would just move according to your great power. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This man's a very gifted man. He's not only a gifted speaker, but he's a man with a lot of wisdom. And remember, this is many, many years now after that he's got converted. So this is not in the early years whenever he would have first started. And we know basically after his conversion in Syria, in Damascus, which was the city of Syria, that he went almost instantly and started preaching that Jesus was the Christ. Whether or not you can understand it, I imagine that part of his preaching would have been much like any preacher that first started preaching. It would have been quite green, a lack of understanding and different messianic principles and the direction that God wanted the church to go. But not so now. Now Paul has been on the field for many, many years. He's preached in many different nations. He's been in many, many diverse situations. And now the Spirit of God is helping him. He's in some of the latter years, actually, of his life. So he's been equipped by the Spirit of God, not only by discernment, but by experience as well. To be able to stand before people and be enlightened by the Spirit of God. But you can notice men like this, and this is something that you notice about Brother Branham as well, that if you listen to the earlier years of Brother Branham and you watch as he progresses in his understanding and he progresses in the revelation of the Word as well, that whenever he speaks before a diversity of people, that God gifts him in such a way to know how to speak before that group. And we see the same thing here with Paul. As Paul is now standing before people that are great people of reputation, people that are looked up to in the world, he could have, no doubt, if God would have shown him by discernment, he could have went down in their life and said, hey, you've got this and you've got this and you've got that in your life. And he could have rebuked them. Maybe in the earlier years of his ministry, he might have done such a thing. But as we go on and mature in the Lord, then we realize there are certain ways by which God wants us to approach people. And we see this here in the wisdom of Paul as he's approaching his own position now. As he comes before Agrippa, now remember as we said last week, Agrippa really has no say whatsoever in the outcome of what's going to happen, because Paul himself has already appealed unto Caesar. So Porcius Festus is not actually wanting him to be able to judge and say, get this off of my hands and give me the direction that I should go. But he wants him to listen to him from the perspective of Agrippa being a Jew himself. The Jewish religion was recognized by the Roman government. Now the Roman government had done a little bit different than the way that the other Grecian empire and the Babylonian empire. The Roman empire began to approach these conquests as they would go in and they'd conquer Asia and they'd conquer the Middle East and they'd conquer the different things, and they found in order to maintain control that they would be able to allow their people of the empire and their provinces to maintain an element of freedom in their government and also an element of freedom in their religion. And by doing this, instead of making everybody conform to Juno, to Hercules, to all this and that and the other, they found the empire would flow much more easily if they would let the people maintain their gods. And and let them worship that way. So the Jews' religion was actually a religion which was accepted by the Roman government, thus far anyway. This is before Claudius, of course, is going to determine them and banish them all out from Rome. So they found that there is an element of peace that is identified. Now remember, this is the prelude of the Roman beast power in the last days. So here, whenever it's coming in, before it's ever moved into the papal power while it's still an imperial power, they're already finding that there is a peace by which Rome can be able to be the dominating force. Let each of them maintain their Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, as we'd say today. Now, this was already in the imperial headship of the Roman power. You follow me? But now it's going to come in the last days, 2,000 years later, to where Rome again will be the power, but they will not make everybody Catholic. They're simply under the synod of their spiritual symbolism that will allow them to remain Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever more. And they found this thousands of years ago, how that they was able to maintain a peace. Now, if the Catholic Church in the last day would try to make everybody come Catholic, and then try to make the Baptists would never settle for that at all. The Presbyterian will never settle for it. And they won't do that. But they will make an image to the beast itself. Now, this image beast power was already preluded whenever it was going on in this. So they recognized the Jews as a Roman recognized government. Now, if you'll notice the way Paul approaches this, he wants to approach what he stands for under the Judeo, the Hebrew Judeo, before it merges into Judeo-Christian. He wants to be able to show them that the Christianity that he believes actually came out of the Hebrew Judeo foundation of the fathers. So now, if they recognize the Jewish religion and it is legal, then what he believes is perfectly legal by the judiciary power of the Roman government. Now remember, he's speaking this. He don't have to say this to the bride. He does not have to say this in regular church meetings. But he wants to present this to those who are standing against him. Now notice the way that he lays this foundation. As I said, this is not necessary to bribe people. It's not necessary to eagles. But when you got these people that are sitting there, he found it very necessary. I believe it's the Spirit of God leading him. Now watch in verse 4, he said, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem. My manner of life from my youth. Now watch what he's doing. What has this got to do with the Lord Jesus? Well, it will not be necessary for Paul to speak this in a bride church and a bride revival, but remember who he's speaking this before. He's speaking it before Agrippa, and he's also before Porcius Festus. So he wants them to realize where he is coming from. So it actually ties back to his youth. Now remember, whenever a young Jewish boy would come to his bar mitzvah, which was whenever he came to becoming recognized as an adult. That was about 12 years old. At his bar mitzvah, he would come to a spot to where he would cover his head and he would be able to take the Torah and he would go before the high priest. He would go into the presence of God and he would take the Torah and he would be allowed for his first time to publicly read. Now this is what happened to the Lord Jesus as well. So it would have been his bar mitzvah by which they would have had a religious celebration also merged together with a natural celebration. So this was the religious part that he would go before it. They would hand him the scripture. He would read the scripture. But Paul not only now had this, but Paul having a wealthy father, Paul being born in a total different place, raised in a different place up to about 12 or 13 years old. But because his father was a rich man, one of the greatest teachers of that day was a teacher by the name of Gamaliel. Now he was a great Pharisee. He was one of what we would, in relation to it today, we would have called it an ultra-orthodox or a Hasidic Jew, one that was very, very strict. They were the strictest of all the three groups. So he would have been one that if you was a Jew and you would have had the means by which you would have won going to send your son and to set under a certain teacher. This would have been the man. So his father then was able to secure a position by which this Saul Paulus of Tarsus was able to go and set under this great fine teacher by the name of Gamaliel. Now he's going to lead them in his introduction of his life story. He's going to take them back to when he was a youth. So they will be able to see he was not a renegade. He was not a Gentile. He was not one that tried to stir the church up, that caused great havoc among the church. But he was taught and reared and brought up by one of the greatest in all of Israel. Now notice what he says, my manner of life from my youth. From my youth. Now he knew that the people that were sitting there around him, and all you got to do is trace it back, and they had a list, of course, of Gamaliel's students. So if you were a student of Gamaliel, that within itself got you great aspiration and attention, and people knew that you were a learned individual. So there was an identity of that. Now this is principle. Now remember, he's not speaking to the bride. He's not speaking to the elect, but he's trying to identify that Christianity has been birthed out of this Judeo foundation. And this is why in the first century, of course, they would have been called Christians, and they would merge together the concept, as we term it later in the 21st century, that it was Judeo-Christian, which is the merging together of the Judeo foundation, but out of that foundation, it become the Judeo-Christian. So there is where that we get the term at. Now notice he says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem. Now remember, he saw Paulus of Tarsus, but he comes from there when he was a young boy, and now he's been trained, and he's lived now most of his life in Jerusalem. So he was first among his own people at Jerusalem, brought up very early by his parents, and of course, and then when he reached 12 or 13 years old, then he was brought over to be learned by this great man. Now notice in verse 5, which knew me from the beginning. Now my foundation can go back. I was a genuine Jew. I was a Pharisee. I'm not some upstart. And look, this is the way that I stood myself. I was a Jew. I stood against this Jesus. I didn't understand it. So if you're struggling with it, he said, I can understand where you're coming from. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify. Now I am not an Egyptian. I'm not somebody that just flew over and I landed here yesterday, but I was raised in Jerusalem. I've come in and out of these gates. I've known this my whole life. This is where I've been raised up. What I believe today, now I see, actually, the law gave birth to what I believe. The law, this is what Moses and the prophets said would happen. Praise the Lord. Now remember, he's talking to a man that's very learned when it comes to the law. So he said, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now there are the three major religions, and that was in the Judaism, and that was Pharisee, Sadducee, and Essene. There was also a group called the Herodians, but they were very small, didn't really amount to much. But the three major branches was Pharisee, Sadducee, and Essene. The biggest group was the Pharisee. The richest group was the Sadducee. So they pretty much appeal to the merchantmen, the businessmen, all that sort of thing. But they didn't have as much a stronghold. The common factor, the medium class of people, as we call it today, the middle class, they were, for the most part, they were of the Pharisee. But it was the Pharisee that had the controlling factor in the Sanhedrin. Though the Sanhedrin was compiled, as we say our Congress today, or our Senate, it would have been a mixture of the Sanhedrin, a mixture of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. So it was a political body move, really. It wasn't a spiritual move anyhow. Now, they said they were spiritual, but it proves by their decision and the way they handled the word is nothing but politics. Exactly right. Now he says, these men, if they would testify, they have known me from the beginning. That many of these older men that are here, these elders, they have seen me grow up as a little boy. They've seen me come right up so I can trace my very beginning right back to here. And they know me that I was raised in the strictest sect, which is a Pharisee. So I'm not a renegade. I'm not a lunatic. I'm not a Gentile. I'm not somebody that's looking out here. I was trained in this. I was raised in this. This is the very thing that I came out of. Amen.
Now remember, this has relevance of what he's going to say. This man lived such a life that not one of them could come with any accusation against his life prior to Christianity. None of them could come up and say, you broke the Sabbath on a certain day. You ate this certain kind of meat. Or you done this certain... I want you to notice, none of them brought anything up in his Pharisaic past. None of them had anything to say about when he was a Baptist. When he was a Pharisee. But it was all after every bit of his problem started when he met Jesus. Glory. When the light of the hour, he had no enemies per se among them as long as he was walking in the tradition of the elders. Amen. You realize it's the same way, friend, with you and I. How many of our friends and families that have forsaken us and turned us away, as long as we was going to the same church they was going in, was the greatest person ever was. Why, as long as we was in the Pentecostal ranks and the Baptist ranks, was the greatest person. But once we embraced the evening light and we got under the influence of the sun of this hour, then we got all weird and strange, and now we act different, dress different, and now they think we're in some kind of cult and we're scared to death we're going to drink blue Kool-Aid, or I'm going to pass down my Gatorade or whatever more, and it's all going to be poison. We don't hand out poison here. We hand out life. Amen. We hand out life and light. Now, notice how that Paul, whenever he goes on in this scripture here, in verse 5, he says that, I want you to notice how that he brings their attention. And he says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now, these men are aware of this. And he said, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Notice what he's doing now. He's basing the evening or the light that he has then right back upon the prophecies that was given to their father. Now, if he can prove that what he believes is actually in the scripture, then they cannot prove that he's broke the law. Because they have accepted Judaism as a recognized religion of the Roman Empire, the emperor and all the Roman citizens. They did not practice this, but you were allowed to. So if he can take them back, don't you understand why when you and I are being confronted by people or those who's trying to attack the message and say, oh, the message ain't scripture, it ain't scripture. Don't you see what we do? What do we do? We don't take them straight to a quote. We take them straight back to our Bible. Because our message is based upon scripture. Well, glory to God. Some of you are going to be offended at me for this statement that I'm fixing to make, but I'm going to make it anyhow. I could preach this message. I could preach it for weeks on end and months on end and never actually read you a quote. Why? Because I would be preaching to you the quotes and preaching to you from the scripture. But you know why I read quotes? So it'll soothe some of you all. So some of you all will say amen. Because if I say date and page and paragraph, then you'll accept it. Because you spend too much time worried about making money and spend too much time doing something else instead of being familiar with the message itself. If the saints in the assembly was more familiar with the message, then the preachers wouldn't have to read near as many quotes. Because whenever the preacher go to preaching the message, they'd say, amen, I just heard that. That's right, I just read that. Praise God, that's what he said. That's right. Now he says, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise. Well, what's he bringing to him, Brother David? The very point, I am judged for the hope of the promise. Do you understand that's where we stand today? That's why I say this is the book of Acts in continuation today. Why are we judged? What are we judged and so misunderstood for? It is the hope of the promise of our apostolic fathers. Amen. It is the very hope. Jude said, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And this is the hope that we are judged for in the day that we live. A time when the church would come back to apostolic doctrine. Come back to the proper baptism. Come back to the proper preaching of the word. Come back to holiness. Come back to the view of the one God. Come back. Why? It was a promise in the word. And we are judged for the hope that we believe. Amen. may I join allegiance with Paul and say, and now I stand. And am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto my fathers. Anybody want to stand with me? Amen. I stand before the Roman governor. I stand before you, Agrippa, for the very thing that our fathers believed would come. Luther knew that this day would arrive. Paul knew, John knew, John said in the book of Revelation, think of it, friend, man, Carol was talking about the other day, that most of the first century Christian, you think most of them lived their lives and they never even had the New Testament to read. The book of James is one of the first books supposedly to be written around 59 or 60 AD. That in Galatians, one of them. And then you look at the book of Revelation, was not even penned until 96 AD. Many of the first century Christians never even had it to read. They never knew the visions of the seven church ages. Why? It was not necessary for them. They never read the book of Revelation. They never read the book of James. Many of them never even read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? But yet they knew God had done something. They didn't know exactly what was all going to happen. But can you imagine when the book of Revelation first began to be written and published among the saints, and they begin to read it and understand that there was church ages and have an enlightenment. My, this is going to go on for a long time, no doubt. Apparently God's going to stretch this thing way out. We thought it'd be just a few years and we'd be gone. But it looks like from this that it's going to go on for quite some time. And as they begin to read and understand it, there's coming a day. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when it went through the dark ages and come out through the Reformation, and they begin to look and prophesy, there's coming a time when the church will be restored again. Amen. That's us. Yes, sir. Amen. We didn't need another pastor. We didn't need another an apostle to come. We needed a prophet by which the word could come to. The word don't come to the pastor. The word don't come to the evangelist. The word don't come to the teacher. The word comes to the prophet. Hallelujah. Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. We're not believing something weird and strange. Paul said, I'm believing what our father said would come. This is what God said would come in Genesis 3. This is what Isaiah said would come in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 35:1, Zechariah 6:12. Come on, preach with me. The book of Jeremiah. This is what our father said would come. And I'm judged for believing what our father said would arrive. His belief was that Jesus was the Messiah, and the realization of that is the very purpose that he's being judged before them. Notice verse 7. Unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. The very promise I'm being judged for is the very promise the 12 tribes are standing here day and night worshiping God and expecting to happen, and they're absolutely killed. They killed him, and they're trying to kill these other people, and now they're trying to get me, and the very thing they're standing there praying for, I see. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? My, notice this. He said, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused. For which hope's sake, this is what they're waiting for. Day and night, oh Messiah, come. Oh Messiah, son of Ben David. Oh, come Messiah. Come Messiah. He said, hey, it's already here. That's already arrived. Hallelujah. And I'm being judged for this very thing. And they're serving God. They're praying. They're offering the sacrifice. And I'm telling you, it's already come. So he represents the Israelites as an assembly of continuity, worshiping God day and night. How did they do that? By their priests, of course. Notice this word that he used. My, my. It's intenseness, fervency. Instantly signifies being a longing and earnest expectation of the coming Messiah. Friends, we find ourselves in the same place. The people said, oh, look to the east. Oh my, the Son of Man's going to come. He already has. We're not looking for that coming. We're waiting for Luke 21:36. Pray ye therefore always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass on the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a message. Praise be to God by the Bible. That is already in the cycle. The rapture is already in motion. Amen. The quickening power of the Holy Ghost that has quickened our lives from sin is already the rapture in motion in our body. That healing power that comes among us and heals us when we're sick and performs miracles among us. Do you realize it is a foreshadow of your body change? It is a foreshadow of the rapture.
Notice verse 8. Why should it be thought a thing incredible for you that God should raise the dead? How many can say you've already experienced the resurrection? Glory! Isn't it amazing he doesn't answer this? He leaves it in the form of question. That's the way preachers do sometimes. Instead of actually producing the answer, they leave you with more questions. They said, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? What a peculiar place to insert the raising of the dead after the promise. Now remember, he hasn't said Jesus yet. He's not mentioning the Messiah. He's leading right up to it, alluding to the promise, but he wants him to see what he believes come out of the Old Testament. What I believe comes out of the old and out of the new. God did not send William Branham to replace our Bible. He sent William Branham to make our Bible more real. Glory! Give us a clearer understanding of our Bible. Notice in verse 9, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Now he must have felt like it's okay to go ahead and mention the name. Now he says, I thought within myself. I felt like it was correct. I felt like I was doing the right thing. So if you're struggling with it, King Agrippa, then I understand, because I thought within myself. I dare say there's probably many people sitting here and under the sound of my voice tonight that when you first heard about the Lord Jesus and whenever you first heard about the message of the hour, you was very precautious and very, you know, very defensive about it. Maybe even thought within yourself to prove that it was wrong. I did. When a brother come to my church down in Kentucky and went to preach the message, it made me madder than a hornet, first of all. That he got in my pulpit and preached it without me, you know, me and him talking about it and all that. So I got in the scripture, you've heard me tell it before, but I got in the scripture to prove that he was wrong. And the Lord laid a trap for me. Amen. Boy, am I glad he did. I got in there, Brother Dow, to prove there ain't no way. There's no such a thing. Well, once I got in there and I started reading them scriptures and reading them scriptures, then you know the rest of the story. I realized that was a promise of God, that there was coming one that was going to restore all things. Then I come to the conclusion, well, if that is a genuine promise of God, then who is or who was that man? Then I started going back. I started studying Jack Cole, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, this one, that, and the other one. And of course, you know, but tonight, by whose message I'm preaching, which one I was convinced it was. A.A. Allen never.
never left a message. Jack Cohn, oh glory, never left a message. Oral Roberts left a university. I didn't need a university. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Most of us could not have afforded to go to ORU. But what did God give us? An I love you. A message of the hour. Amen. I didn't need a professor. I didn't need a university. I needed a man that would get himself out of the way and make Jesus Christ so real. It would make me and you fall in love with the Lord Jesus greater than we ever had before. So Paul said, I felt like I should do whatever I could do. Straighten out this mess. So I denied him. I denied his doctrine. Stood against him and his name. Notice in verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. That's what power without character does. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Oh my. Now remember, out of Jerusalem, he had men and women put in prison. Out of Jerusalem, he had them killed. Shall we check the authenticity of this? The scripture only records one person that Paul had killed. But Paul said there was many. Praise the Lord. Many of the saints I shut up in prison. And they were put to death. How many? Many. You want to argue with him? You want to say it's wrong? Remember, friends, God does not have his book wrote so that we can sit down and read it like a newspaper. Stephen was the first martyr and one of preeminence, of course. And God had his name recorded and written. But according to Paul's own testimony, which I will take, I'm sure the rest of you will as well, that he said there was many others. But did God write their names? No. They fit under what? One word called many. There are many, many preachers in the message of the hour. But does God have every one of their names mentioned on the internet? Does God have every one of them to have a website? He does not. God picks certain people for certain things. It's the same thing in trouble, that God will pick certain ones. How many people went through tremendous trials in the Old Testament? Yet God handpicked certain ones like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Job. Job wasn't the only one to have a trial. Job wasn't the only one to lose children. But Job was one that God specialized. Oh my, we want to be specialized for blessings and new Cadillacs and new BMWs. But God needs some people that are specialized to be burden bearers. God needs certain ones. Come on now, saints. Are we willing to say, Lord, whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to place, God, that's exactly what I want to be. Oh, sure, we'll stand in the line for the blessings and the good times. But if God needs a Job and God wants me for it, so be it, Lord God. If God wanted to meet me to be a Stephen, so be it, Lord. I want to find my place in the Word, whether it's prosperity or pain. Amen. Whether it is pleasure or pain, I want to find what He wants for my life. Amen. That matters more to me than what I sing, don't it, you? Now remember, Paul says that he gave his voice against these saints, yet Paul was not a member of the Sanhedrin. So he could not have stood. And when they voted, said, well, I agree, I disagree, I agree, I disagree. Isn't it amazing how you can give your voice by your actions and not actually say anything? Now, he says he gave his voice, but how did he give his voice? By allegiance to the harmony of those who spoke against him. Listen. Be careful what you agree to. Be careful what you promote. So-and-so said so-and-so. You realize if they're telling a lie, you promote that on your Facebook page. You are giving your voice to a lie. Now, Paul had no voice as far as say. He had authority, but he didn't have a voice on the Sanhedrin. But yet, Paul is identifying giving his voice by the actions that he took and associating himself with those who had the voice. Well, praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm identified with the voice of the seventh angel. What about you? Now, I'm not the voice of the seventh angel. I do not have the voice of the seventh angel. But I'm identified with my beliefs, my works, and my behavior with the voice of the seventh angel, which was one of the stars in the right hand of Jesus. So that places my identity in the right hand of Jesus Christ by giving my voice and my allegiance to this word. Praise God. Notice this again. Now, Paul says in verse 11, "And I punish them oft in every synagogue and compel them to blaspheme." So he punished them in every synagogue. He sought them, and then he goes farther and compels them. Deny him. This ain't true. This is not the truth. I compel them. Now he's on this side of the light, looking back at what he done. He said, now I realize what I was doing. I was compelling them in recanting. I was compelling them to blaspheme. Children, don't you never deny this word. Don't you never deny the Lord Jesus and his greatness. Don't you never deny this message of Malachi 4. Don't you understand what people are trying to get you to do? They're trying to get you to blaspheme. They're trying to get you to blaspheme, to pull you away. But Brother Donnie, I don't understand everything. Of course you don't understand everything. But does that stop you? You understand how you eat food? You eat yellow squash and you eat green maters and red maters. And you eat chicken and pork and this and that and the other. And you get all them colors mixed up together in your body. And your body digests it up through the acidic part of your stomach. And it turns it all into cells and through the blood. And when it all hits in there, show me one yellow cell. Show me one that looks like an onion. Show me one that looks like a cucumber. What happened? You understand how that works? I don't either, but man, it sure tastes good. I don't really focus on my body breaking it down. I focus more on, do you eat food because of color? Do you eat food because it looks so good? Most of us like it because it tastes good. We don't care nothing about photosynthesis or some other synthesis. All we want is, I don't like that. That don't taste good. Oh, I can't stand that. That's green. I don't like green stuff. I don't like this and that. But if it had the same taste and it was yellow like corn, you'd eat it like a hog. So you know what? It's in your mind. So you're there. Well, I don't understand how. Well, I don't understand a lot about God. I don't understand a lot about the Word. But it sure does taste good. He sure does heal good. He sure does love his children good. He sure does stand behind us in trouble. That I understand. I punish them oft in every synagogue and compel them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. The book of Acts is still going on. I persecuted them even under strange cities. I'll tell you one thing. If some of these folks who now left the message, if they would have really held on to it and studied it the way they have since they've left, I don't tell them what they'd have done. They put a whole lot more time. Can you imagine every day you're going to get up, try to find some kind of fault in the message? You're going to get up and study all day long, put in 8 hours to try to find some mistake. How pitiful. How pitiful. My, he was relentless. He was unwearied. Why? He was under the anointing of demons. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. I find it kind of funny myself. God didn't save him in Jerusalem. He saved him in Syria. Jerusalem is the religious headquarters of the world. The temple is in Jerusalem. The Lamb is in Jerusalem. All the menorah is in the Jerusalem. Everything is in Jerusalem. And God saves him in Syria. Damascus. and he preaches his first sermons, not in Jerusalem, in Damascus. Where'd he get a hold of some of you all? On a bar stool somewhere out in a barn, or slopping the hogs, or, you know, doing whatever more? Amen. Don't tell me God ain't got no sense of humor. Notice him now. Now he's going to get into the personal experience. I try to base it upon the foundation that what I'm believing walks right out of the Old Testament. Now he's going to personify this promise. That midday, O King. I want you to notice this now. Study Paul for his accuracy. Read it in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 when you get home. See if this word is there. Testing, 1, 2, 3, my mic must have quit. Amen. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Above the brightness of the sun. Glory to God. Amen. Now remember, this account of the greatness of the light is not mentioned in any of the previous narratives. So if we will take a verse-by-verse comparison, you'll find Paul's telling of the story before Agrippa is more full, more complete, almost added to. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. I saw in the way a light from heaven shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. Round about me. Now he relates this in Acts chapter 9 verse 3, of course. And them that journeyed with me. He doesn't say it that way in the previous tellings. And when we were all fallen to the earth. Paul, are you sure now? Now, let's check the way you told this story now, Paul. Let's check it over here and say, who is God in Toledo in 1951? And then we'll come over here and say perfection in Jeffersonville in 1956. And then we'll come to 1965 and check and see how you told the same story. And then if you left out an and or an add and a four or a z or whatever more, then you're a liar. And if that's the way you understand it, you're an idiot. It proves you don't even read your Bible or even know your Bible. Brother Donnie, you shouldn't say that. You're right, I should say worse. Blasphemers! Oh, don't scrunch your toes up in your shoes, man. It's all right. It's all right. Now remember, prophets, how they will tell things. You see, David, whenever God promised to him that he was going to have an heir, God didn't tell him the name initially, but the revelation progressed, and as David began to write about it later, David wrote the progression of the revelation in full tense as if it happened in the initial stage. Whenever he said, you'll call his name Solomon, but that wasn't the way it happened. So David writes it with the first initial revelation, compacted together with the second and the third, and then when he writes it as though bam, 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 God told him this will happen, that will happen, that happen, his name will be so and so and so. It didn't happen that way at all. Now watch how Paul is going to relate to Agrippa exactly the same thing. And if you listen to the tapes real carefully, you'll find the prophet of God did exactly the same mannerism. So he would tell something over here, and then as it would go on and the revelation would become more clear, then he tells the same story with more understanding of the story. Now watch it then, when you read the story, you're comparing what you think is fact to fact. There's where you make your mistake, you see. Because you don't understand the way that God writes His Word. It's not always just fact compared to fact. But God would have it written down, and it would become progressive, and then these men would write it as they would write it at the end of the revelation. Then they would write, well, this part happened, then that part happened, then that part happened. They didn't tell you maybe over here that it was months months or years apart. Well, hallelujah. Watch this again. Now he says that it was shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me, which is not mentioned in the other two accounts. Verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, whenever he says here, we were all fallen to the ground, Saul and the men that were with him. But the other narratives by which this is written only mentions Paul falling to the ground. Brother Donnie, that shakes me. You wasn't nothing but a wet noodle. That's as far as your experience was. You ain't nothing but a piece of spaghetti. Why, you're serving God by this. And when it don't make no sense up here, it leaves here. Get it here first. Get it here first. This will override this every day out of the week. This is what gives you stability. Here's what gives you that that you need when you can't even understand it. And then this will line up later. Notice in chapter 9, verse 7, the men which journeyed with him stood. I'll never read my Bible again. I'm done. Don't throw away the Bible because you've got a warped understanding. Throw away your warped understanding and keep reading your Bible. How many of you people in here have 100% total recall of every story you've ever told every one of your life? I wonder how many things we relive is that we think back when we were children. We've done this and this and this. I wonder if there'd be a video recording of that story that you've told for 85 years. If it would even be near what you're telling. Man alive, I remember when we used to walk out to Happy Top and be able to buy, sell a few pop bottles and things along the way and be able to get a bologna sandwich, and they'd cut that big bologna on a big old roll. Y'all remember when it was on a big old roll? And they cut that bologna about that thick, my goodness, and put a couple of maters on there, slap that thing with mayonnaise. Oh, I can taste it tonight. You talking about good. You talking about good. But I guarantee if I had that same bologna tonight fixed exactly the same way, it wouldn't taste near as good. You know why? Because I get bologna now more often if I want it. If I want it, I buy it. And then it was a treat. Now I know you find it hard to believe bologna's a treat. But bologna was a treat. Boy, some of y'all thinking, poor old Brother Donnie. Bologna was a treat, and an RC or a, you know, a Coke or a moon pie. You get a moon pie, man alive, you're on a 7-day cruise to get a bologna sandwich and an RC and a moon pie. You have made it nearly to the gates. But if I went back and done that very same thing, I'd think, that don't taste like I remember it. So did it taste that good then? Or was it because it was so special to me? But when it recorded in my memory, when it recorded in my experiences, and I recall it, oh my, it was so good, oh my, and you taste the same thing and say, I can't believe I like that. I can't believe I walked to Happy Top to even get that. What in the world was the matter with me? Why? It's because the way it was recorded. Come on, children. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Amen. And the saints said, amen. Back to verse 14 now. When we were fallen, all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. So which one of them's right? Both of them. You can hear a voice and not understand it. Remember when they heard the voice of God in the New Testament and they thought it thundered? There's always an understanding. Just don't jump ship. Because the only ones going to be saved is those that are abiding the ship. And Satan will do his best to get you to jump ship. And many will jump it from right here. Because they don't understand this and they don't understand. And they try to put it together. This is not biology. Okay? This is not math. This is not trig. It ain't none of that stuff. It's revelation from God. We serve God by faith, not by understanding. Now remember, he goes on to say, I heard a voice saying in the Hebrew tongue, which is not mentioned in the other two accounts. Oh my. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Jesus in heaven quotes a Greek proverb. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You imagine the Lord Jesus in a glorified body, and he quotes to Paul a Greek proverb. Think about it. You're talking about the condescension of a mighty God. Why should you marvel at when the Spirit of God would speak to the prophet and say, go to the place you call Sportsman's Hollow. Woo! Glory to God. The place you call. Don't you see what that is? That's his condescension to you. That don't mean the Lord called it that. The Lord no doubt could have used another word, and Paul would not even been able to relate to it. No doubt this was a proverb that was not only common among the Greeks, but at least common to where Paul would be able to understand it. It'd be like some of the things that we say here in East Tennessee and people from around the world. Can you imagine what some of these poor old people think when they hear me preach and they hear Brother Louis get up here and say some of the hick stuff that he says, and some of you folks say some of the hick stuff you say, and people in France and Norway and Switzerland, and they're sitting there scratching their head trying to understand what in the world are they talking about? What in the world do they mean? But the Lord Jesus wanted him to get it so much that he used a Greek proverb that Paul would know, relate, and understand. What it meant was this. It's hard for you to kick against a priest. You are kicking as an ox against the goad. You are kicking against it. And when you kick against it, you're going to be the one to get in trouble. I'll tell you one thing. It must have been a pretty powerful proverb because Paul led Paul to repentance. It got the message over, saints. Oh, you may laugh at me. You may ridicule me and the other brothers the way we preach about certain things, but sometimes God uses those things. God will use those things to be able to bring a conversion and bring a change in your heart. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Notice verse 15. And I said, who art thou? Lord. And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You talking about something? The feet of Jesus was on the earth, but the head was in heaven. But even the feet are identified as Jesus. Now, Paul never even seen Jesus. He was not out there as far as him physically. He was persecuting the body, which was representing the name. But Jesus took that so personally. He said, Paul, you are persecuting me. My, let me read to you what the prophet said in the prisoner. What a great shock it must have been for this apostle. Hallelujah. When he said, I am Jesus, the very one that he was persecuting. Why persecutest thou me? Another little quotation we might drop in here. As they make fun of angels, cherubim, seraphims, the church. They're not really making fun of the church. They're making fun of Jesus. Why persecutest thou me? How could Paul then with all his intellect believe that this group, listen to this, that this group that he was persecuting, Lord God, was the very God.
Amen.
The very God.
Amen.
That he claimed to be serving. That shocks even the stoutest of us, don't it? How could he believe this group that he was persecuting was the very God? God. God in bride form. Don't you understand? It's Jesus in bride form. Amen. Look, friends and folks laugh at us and criticize us and all that they do against us. It's not us. Don't take it so much personal. Don't take it personal. My goodness, it's not that we're so important and we're so great as far as us within ourselves, a Reagan or a Mullins or a Horn. It ain't that. It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus and his greatness. Somebody sent me something not long ago of a message person just blasting me on Facebook up one side and down the other because of something I preached and the brother was all upset. I said, brother, don't worry about it. My goodness, you're leading trouble in yourself over. I said, the brother ain't got a problem with me. He's got a problem with the message. He just don't believe what the prophet taught about it. I said, don't worry about it. This brother was from Abbas, Ethiopia. And he had read it all night, tore him all to pieces. I said, pray for the brother and just go on. Pray for the brother and just go on. His problem ain't with me. Those are not my words. I was reading what the prophet had to say about it. So his problem ain't with a Reagan or a Happy Valley. His problem is with the word. Until he sees that, he'll never move on with God. I said, if he thinks his problem is with me, the devil will blindside it. That's the way we need to look at it. Well, I've got a problem. Brother Donnie saying this, but was Brother Donnie reading it from the scripture and from the message? Then your problem is not with Brother Donnie, your problem is with the message. It's one thing to have a problem with me, my brother, sister. It's another thing to have a problem with the word. Oh man, Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Can you imagine? The prophet said, how could Paul then, with all his intellect, there's the problem. How could the majority of Christendom, with all their intellect, hear of this message, this prophet, how small it is in number compared to the world, and ever believe that group they laugh at and ridicule and make fun of, them women they see at Walmart and dress the way they are, these men that preach what they do and these men that live the way they do, to believe that's the very God of the Bible in bride form? Your intellect would never allow you to believe it. That's why you got to be born again. Notice this. He says the very group that he was persecuting was the very God. The very God that he claimed to be serving. I think that's, without going into details, I think we're all well trained enough to know what I mean here. The same thing is happening today. All right, now this is 1963 when the prophet preached this. This quote is still living out. Same thing is happening today. Amen. Gonna go just a few more minutes. Watch now verse 16. But rise. Stand upon thy feet. These is almost word for word what Adonai said to Ezekiel, chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to notice and identify Paul's call now. He's identifying himself as a prophet of God, receiving a similar call to the Judeo-Hebrew way. Rise! Stand upon thy feet! Now watch this. This is amazing. This is where his critics would have accused him of not telling the story the same. Because he's fixing to condense into one statement the culmination of events that will happen here, 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 and here. But he's going to condense it together and make it sound like it all happened right there on the road to Damascus. And I can see right now from the looks on some of y'all's faces, you ain't never even read this before. Well, guess again, that's why you need a pastor. Now watch this verse And what follows in this and the next two verses are not mentioned in the previous two accounts. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
Amen.
Arise, stand on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. To make thee a minister. I was thinking about it this evening, and I said on this, it's a good thing that Paul appeared in his day instead of this day. Because if he had appeared in this day, a lot of these knothead message people would be having Paul playing tapes. He wouldn't be allowed to even preach. Well, praise the Lord. But we ignored that like the ground squirrel. Chatter, 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 chatter. We just go on, preach, eat, and get ready for the body change. Amen. Now watch. This is not actually found in chapter 9 or chapter 22, but it is the accumulation now of what God said to Paul, plus what God said to Ananias, plus what God said to Paul in the sequence of years that followed it, but now he's merging it all together. He's not giving a fact line upon line, word upon word experience, but he's putting together years of experience and giving not so much a line upon line statement, but he's giving an experiential statement which happened over the year. Boy, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Don't you understand? God does it that way. God talks that way himself. God relates that way. I told you Matthew, whenever Matthew wrote his gospel, Matthew wrote the same way. He would take a line from Zechariah and one from Jeremiah, and he would put it together with one from Hosea, and it would make you think, oh, that scripture says this. Go to looking for it. We'll get to it a little bit later, and I'll prove it to you. You go to looking for him. It is not said exactly the way you think in your mind that Matthew wrote it. It said it, but part of it's here, part of it's there, part of it's there. He put it together, and you go to looking for that one verse. He said, well, it ain't nowhere else. It's in there, but it's written in Matthew's style. What's Paul doing? Paul is now saying, look, Agrippa, this happened, that happened, that happened, that happened. Oh. Let me close. The Lord tells him, listen to this, let me close with this. Arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. The word minister here means an under rower, R-O-W-E-R. And it refers to a lowly servant on a galley ship. Or one who is under the guidance and authority of another, an assistant or a servant. Praise God. So Paul ain't going to be the captain of the ship. He's going to be in the galley. So for the preachers around the message who feel like the ship ought to be named after them. And they're the captain, and they're the one running it, and they're the one telling everybody else what to do around the message. Buddy, you might ought to wake up and realize you're in the galley with all the rest of us. If you're in the ship, that is. Oh my, you imagine this man that had now been catered to, looked up to when they come around him. Oh, Dr. Saul, this and that and the other. Jesus said, you're changing positions now, boy. Get in the bottom of the boat. Get in the bottom of the boat, okay? You don't know where the boat's going, I do. We won't need your eyes from this point on. You're going to get your eyes out of the way, and I'll lead your eyes by vision. get down there in the galley, and I want you to row and row hard. And what you're going to do is follow my command, because I am the captain of this ship. Praise God. Let's stand. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you. Don't you believe real God-called preachers are the same thing today? Amen. Their servants are just down in the galley, and they're roaring and as he tells us to roar. We just row and row and row and row. But the main thing is, we're going to get this ship home. But when I left home, I left as an attribute, so my GPS don't work. So I have no recall of which way to go back and forth. So you know what? He's just going to say, Donnie, just don't worry about it. You just row. And I say, fast, fast. If I pick up, boom, boom, you know how the Roman galleys used to do? When they begin, they'd teach them, they'd row at a certain speed, and then they'd pick it up, boom, 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 by the drum. And when they say ramming speed, boom, 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 this speed, that speed, you know what? Them guys was hid down there. They had a small hole they could look out of. Oh, my. But what are they going to do? They're going to follow the voice. Amen. Amen. Which way? What happened tomorrow? What's on next week? I don't know. But let's just keep on roaring. Let's keep on roaring because we're going home and we're closer than we've ever been. Oh, my. I can almost see the lights of that city. Praise be to God. Oh, what it will it be when the book of Acts in the New Testament and the book of Acts at the end of the New Testament will merge together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you tonight so much, Lord. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that the book of Acts is still ongoing. Lord, just in the last week, we've seen several supernatural miracles. Healings right here Wednesday night, Lord, you performed a miracle. Several healings that you performed. Then yesterday, Lord, for another brother in his need, you supernaturally come on the scene, Lord God. You're among us. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. It's not to be a show. It's not to be to get us recognition in the eyes of the world. It'll pass right among us. And it'll get the attention of the elect, and others will laugh and ridicule and make fun of it. But Lord God, the way which is called heresy is the way we worship the God of our fathers. We're so grateful for the truth. We stand here tonight as Paul of old. Oh, I imagine if Paul would be able to sit here in the service tonight and be able to hear the way we believe things, and he could ask us, how do y'all baptize? We'd say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd say, glory to God, I baptize the same way. So it looks like y'all believe in holiness. Yes, sir, we do. That's what I preach to. It looks like your men marry women and your women marry men. Say, yep, that's the way we believe it here, Paul. Say, glory to God, that's the way I preached it. Look like y'all preach a bride in the church. Yes, sir, that's the way we preach it here. Say, glory to God, that's the way I preached it. Praise be to God. If old Jude could be here on the service tonight, you would imagine Jude sitting here on the service. See, he heard me quote what he said a while ago, inspired by the presence of God 2,000 years ago. I imagine the deacons had already escorted Jude out 3 or 4 times. He said, glory to God, it does my heart good to sit right in the midst of a church that believes in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, that believes in election and predestination and salvation by the blood, believes in a holy walk with God, that preaches the rapture, that preaches the coming of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What it would be to Jude if he could stand here tonight and say, my, our God has restored it. Our God has done it again. I saw it in my day that they'd already got away from it. What a blessing it is he could say to me tonight to see here it is right at the end time. Churches that believe the original truth of the word. Thank you, Father. Lord, may we be that kind of people, Lord. We expect to be ridiculed and laughed at and made fun of. Even in our own ranks. In one way, Lord, it's a marvel to me that the people on the outside would ridicule us for preaching what the message says. Well, Lord, it still staggers me when some of my greatest opposition, some of my greatest hatred has been from people who say they believe the message and you simply read what your prophet said. And they ridicule you, call you names, call you blasphemer, call everything in the world. Lord, I thank you for the light tonight, Father. Amen. We can expect it, Lord. You said it would be. So we thank you, Father, that you help us whenever it comes, that we don't get discouraged and just turn and say, well, what's the use? But Father, we got to keep on rowing. Amen. I learned a long time ago, Lord, my eyesight don't count very much. I'm down the bottom of the ship. I don't know if we're going north, south, east, west. I don't really have a clue. I can catch a little glimpse every now and then through the hole there that my oar is stuck out. But I'm listening to the voice. Lord, make me where I'll always be sensitive, Father. make me Lord. Well, I'll never think that I know how to preach and I know how to do this and that. May I always be your servant, Lord. Like right here Saturday night, Lord Jesus, the way you moved in that service. Lord God, you see, Father, hear what I had laying before me, before the saints. Lord, and all of a sudden you just changed and went another direction.
Amen.
I've still just been marveling about it, Lord. I thank you. May I always be that way. May I never think, Lord, that what I think should be. But may I always be an under-rower down the bottom of the ship. If you say left, I go left. If you say right, I go right. If you say stop, I stop. If you say attack, I attack. Hallelujah. Make us that way, Lord, as children. Lord, help us to be that way in our own lives. Many of us think we're the captain of our own ship. We hold our own destiny. We can do this and that. Forgive us, Lord, for being so stubborn and hard-headed. Help us, Lord, to be an under-rower, even in our own life. That we can say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go, Lord. I'll mess up my life if I do it. Give me your leading, Lord. Help me, I pray, Father. I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, you got a hold of your prophet because he wanted to be a guide. He wanted to go up in the north woods and just go up there and guide hunters on how to hunt. Well, the call was all right. You called him to be a guide, all right, but not for bears and fish. It was a guide to the bride. Praise God. Praise God. He didn't take us on a hunting trip. He took us on a found trip. The truth was lost and it was found. Glory, we're not hunting for it anymore. Most of us was hunting it for many years of our life. But we ain't hunting it no more. We found it. It found us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, can we just love him a little bit before we go, saints? Oh, my. Ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, I love church on Wednesday night. I'm so glad we can come to church in the middle of the week and give us a little boost. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you tonight, Lord. Maybe out of this book of Acts, you'll be able to get a little something that'll be a blessing and a benefit to you in your life. Maybe you need to come to that spot in your life tonight to where you can realize you need to be an under-rower in the ship of your life. Well, I want this, and I'm going there, and I'm going to do this. And don't do it, friend. We can make a bigger mess out of our life in 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness, it can take God years to get it out, what we mess up. Let God lead us and guide us. Let's lay aside our pride, our arrogance, our selfishness, whatever more. May the Spirit of God lead us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King, shall we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad God didn't give you a picking heart where you just pick this and pick that and pick something else? Oh, my, you just believe. You just believe. And you understand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name tonight, Father. We rejoice in this truth, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, I'm so grateful that when we read this account of what Paul had to say, we won't come at the end of the story and be like King Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We're so glad, Lord, we don't use the word almost. But we are so glad we can say, I have been persuaded. Almost don't describe me. Halfway don't describe us. Possibly don't describe us. It's a past tense work. We are. We are. Amen. We are Christians at Happy Valley.
Amen.
We're not Baptists. We're not Methodists. We're not Church of God. We're not Reaganites, Pruittites. We are Christians.
Amen.
Holy Ghost filled children of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. These words will not meet us that day as they will meet Agrippa. Once again, another king has been privileged to hear the word of God, and it will meet him at that day. And it will be against him. For we have no record that Agrippa ever turned toward the light. But Lord, may it not be so with any of us here tonight. As we've heard this story reiterated again, may the illuminating power of God strike our hearts, Lord. Praise be to God. I'm glad tonight that I heard this story differently than Agrippa did. My, we'll find it next week, Lord willing, when we get to it. That Festus said, Paul, much learning has made you mad. You're crazy. You've lost your mind. But we read this story. We rejoiced. We wept. We shouted. We praised God. We didn't think it was crazy. Hallelujah. And it's the Spirit of God that helped us to have that view. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, let's sing together, Jesus, use me. Amen. Can you sing this tonight with all your heart? No matter what the Lord wants you to do, what if the Lord shows you as a Christian to be one that he would allow the devil to hit you with a sickness or an affliction, troubling your home, maybe your job that shut down the plant and you'd lose your job. But God needed somebody, a child, that he could allow to be tried. Oh, not saying that you won't get humanly be gripped with fear, but the greatest factor will be your faith in the Word. If God would want you to be used for that, can he count on you? That's what I was afraid of. If God's got millions of dollars that he wants to give away to people and want people to know your great name and wants you to walk into the hospital and lay hands on the sick and your face be in the newspaper tomorrow, how many of y'all would want that? Some of you folks ain't being honest. Why is it we want all the good stuff? Wouldn't you prefer it, Brother Donnie? I would prefer it. But I done found out a long time ago. God needs message preachers that's just all good things ain't said about them. I've submitted my will, my pride. I have been so humiliated and so humbled by following this word. And I continue to do so. Because God needs somebody that can be run down for him. Are you willing for that? Or you just want to be famous for God? You want to be important and looked up to and applauded by the world? God wants somebody to be run down and hated, laughed at, ridiculed. I'm willing, Lord. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Use me, Lord. Preach to 5, preach to 500, preach to 5,000. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, Lord. Anybody want to join in with me tonight as we sing it? Let's sing it together, Harry. Let's just not make it now a song. Let's make it a prayer with all of our hearts. Amen.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness.
A witness.
If you.
Lord, if you'll help
my weaknesses, I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
My eyes of faith, oh, I see thee.
Yes, Lord.
Upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant.
Let's sing it now, children, with all of our hearts. Can we just raise our hands as a sign of surrender? Oh, Jesus, use me. I know, don't refuse me. Come my way, I'll spread. France, to Switzerland, wherever you want me to go, Lord. Hallelujah. If it be thy will, Lord, me to go across the sea. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Say yes. Everybody now, all together. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Yes, Lord. Men, women, boys, and girls, Father. Even though it's small and humble. Lord, help my will to crumble. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's sing it again with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, the work that each one of us can do. Amen, Father. Hallelujah. And even Lord, help my will to crumble. Brother David. Oh, the cost be great, our work.
Yeah. faith. For I know I'll not be late if I spend my time in red. Oh, and when my ship comes in, I'm gonna leave this world of sin. I'll go sailing, hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old message ship. Well, I'm going beyond the sky. Amen. Then I'm going to shout, oh, until the heavens. Well, I'm getting this. Hallelujah. Oh, and if you're ashamed of me, well, you have no cause to be. For a Christ, I am an end. If too much fault you find, you'll be surely left behind. Or I'll go sailing, glory. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old gospel ship. Yes, I'm going beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heaven rings. Well, I'm bidding, go in the fear of God. God bless you tonight. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old rapture ship. Yes, I'm going far beyond the sky. Glory! Well, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heaven. Take a trip on that good old gospel ship. Well, I'm